morning, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion. So glad you could join us today. It is Sunday, September 2nd, 2018, and we will start today with our prayer. Lauren.
From the Blue Book, page 61. Father, teach me how to still the clamoring of sense and fill my place as listener, that I may hear thy voice and grow to understand thy word and so become thy messenger. Then teach me how to banish pride and stubborn will, that I may be thy representative, with no false sense of human zeal, that every word may bless and heal when I thy message give.
Thank you. Miscellaneous writings, Mary Baker Eddy. We today in this classroom are enough to convert the world if we are of one mind. For then the whole world will feel the influence of this mind, as when the earth was without form, and mind spake, and form appeared. Before we get into the lesson, there were a couple things I wanted to mention. The first, the Bible study begins next Saturday. Linda will start it off for us, and Tom also has a slot in September, but there are two empty spaces, and of course all October is empty, so it's hard to think now. We're still maybe in our summer mode, but time to prepare. So, and if we don't have volunteers, we won't do it. Is that right?
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. Okay, and the other, last week we discussed the 1910 coup, and someone want to tell us briefly what that was and is?
Well, it sort of goes over how the board of directors in 1910 were sort of lying in wait, and as soon as Mrs. Eddy passed, they released a new manual with changes that enabled them to retain power.
That's a good summary. Thank you. That, for the most part, all of us here have known about this for years, why we only sell the 88th manual. But my understanding is some of you were maybe surprised, even shocked by this. So I just wanted to give anyone, if anyone had any questions or wanted to say anything before we move on to the lesson.
Just wanted to also just add the subtle secrecy in which they slipped it in.
Yes.
The ways error works.
Yes.
I had someone comment that they didn't understand how Mrs. Eddy could allow Archibald McClellan to be on the board if she knew that, what he was doing. My thought of that is that she always gave people a chance, I feel, and she wasn't outwitted. Not at all. Not at all. She knew.
She knew what was going on. She knew what was going to happen. And she did everything that she could to prevent it, including writing the manual.
She warned them, this is what you want.
Remember when they called for a king in the Bible? People wanted a king. And finally, okay, you have a king, King Saul.
Yes.
And even very late in her career, when Archibald McClellan slipped a footnote into one of the articles of the Sentinel that was incorrect, she fired him. She fired him from the board. And, she eventually reinstated him before it became publicly known that she had fired him. But she was always having to put out fires, for the human mind was rearing itself up with people on the board, in the movement. And, it's not like there were better options available to her in terms of people. But she left us the manual that would hold the human mind in check. It was divinely inspired manual.
And
they deliberately changed it and deliberately violated it.
She said something about the future, about the manual. Talks about the future. So maybe she thought, or not maybe, but she maybe knew that, okay, it's not accepted now, but at some point it will be accepted. It will be understood and accepted as thought rises and grows into it. The human mind just sometimes is so thick and dense it cannot understand things. And that's what she was faced with. So, but no wool was pulled over her eyes ever. She knew exactly what was going on. And so.
And it wasn't her.
I also feel that she was always really looking at probably the 90% of the good and to give people a chance. And she saw what was working, not the person, but what was at work. So I feel like if she let him go and then let him come back, she was hoping that things would change. It's merciful, I feel. But
yes.
It didn't work, so.
Well, and also she saw more than anybody else saw.
Right.
She was ahead of everybody else. She couldn't live their lives for them. She gave them the truth. She gave them the example. She gave them the manual. She gave them the textbook. And she did her very best, and she did wonderfully to teach people what this science is all about. So, for heaven's sake, she deserves all the credit in the world for bringing mankind this far.
And it was more than doing her very best. She was the reflection of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There was nothing human in anything that she did, including what God told her to do. At this. So, another one I know got so disturbed over this, but why shouldn't you be disturbed over it?
Not a person, it's an error, and that's how an error works. You need to handle it, not personalize it.
Thank you.
But there's no reason to be disturbed. We see this kind of behavior in, like, everywhere. People wanting power, people doing what they can to get power, it's not a new thing. Our mind's only got one way to go.
It goes all the way back to the Bible and the Old Testament.
And science teaches us the way to handle it. Recognize that it is not power.
It should rather make us stronger, you know, stand firmer, unwavering, because we have been given what we need to use to face all this.
We as Christian Scientists cannot be where we just, you know, this idea, you can't ever say any negative word, or you're just going to fall down and fall apart. Heaven forbid you say something that's not loving. You have to confront the error. If you don't, you're always going to be running before it or behind it or after it, but you'll always be running. It has to be confronted. It has to be faced, and then proved its nothingness. And that nothingness is being proven. So, and that's a great thing. So it's a time of rejoicing, not one of getting so disturbed over it. That's making a reality out of it. And that we don't do.
The error doesn't want to be disturbed.
Well, that, yes, it doesn't. And that's what's happened. That's why so many people don't know about it, because no one will speak up. Oh, no, we mustn't say anything that's unpleasant. Well, that's just ridiculous. But that is the old brand of science. And that's just what Lil said ERA doesn't want you to say it. That's just what it's counting on. She'll just be quiet. What is that quote, that the one chance evil has is for good men to be quiet or something like that? Quote
do about nothing.
Do nothing, yeah. So?
The only hope ERA has is that we won't do the work.
That's it. So we don't run from confrontation. We are like David and Goliath. He ran toward it. knowing its victory. Which brings up, perhaps now I will jump into what Parthen said on the forum. He talked about this spectral. Mrs. Eddy says in Science and Health, page 353, and it's in the lesson, we must give up the spectral at all points. Does anyone remember or read what he said that that is?
A visible ghost?
Yeah. The visible ghost or apparition that induces dread, an extreme incapacitating form of fear. Something quite different from hidden or unconscious dread. So, we have to give up all of this thinking that there's such a big reality in evil and being afraid of it and running before it. And then he brings that watching point number 153. And what does that say, Lauren?
I'll read it. Watch lest you accept the common notion that the small power represented by David's little stone overthrew a great power called Goliath. David, as the visible representative and manifestation of the omnipotence of divine mind, was the invincible giant equipped with infinite power that overthrew Goliath, whose power lay wholly in deception through size. You want me to read all of it?
That's
all
he
wrote.
Thank you very much. And
essentially, it's a fake size. You know, it's like all our challenges that come, they look so great and we are under it and all that. But no, the power is in the smallest truth that you know in your heart.
Yeah, the watching point ends when spiritual understanding takes away this distortion and enables man to have a clear vision. He beholds the utter nothingness of nothing and the great fact of God's fallness. In this way, the Goliath of mortal mind is vanquished. So this is where we stand. A very, very important point. And if you think that Era is a big Goliath and you're afraid of it and run from it, then you've given it a power it does not have. So you and you realize it, you meet it by doing what David did. He conquered it with just a little stone. And we can too.
And when we run from confrontation, fearing some great evil power, we are violating the first commandment. Right? We are worshiping something other than the one God. And as a result, we lose when we do that.
And we should lose because we are saying there's something apart from God, something that has power. And the first commandment tells us there isn't any.
We only hurt ourselves when we fear and run from confrontation.
And Amanda read that beautifully on Wednesday, the importance of the first commandment and why it is Mrs. Eddy's favorite text. So anyone else have any comments before we move on?
Well, I actually am very grateful for it. Because it brought me great peace. I'm not saying it was nice to read all the stuff. It can be very overwhelming when you get into the details. But what it did for me was answered a lot of questions. And one of the things, this big giant that we're looking at is this whole concept that this has gone on for so many years that it's ingrained in the thinking that, you know, these were early workers and they should be trusted. And it occurred to me that many of our teachers were some of these early workers between 1910 and 1922. When all this was going on, a lot of them had, several of them even taught teachers, not only taught students, but taught teachers. And there's a lot of pride, my teacher was taught by so-and-so, Well, if you go back, a lot of them stem from this. And Mrs. Eddy does speak about the moral character that's behind the teaching. And it made so much sense to me that all these words were spoken that sounded good, but behind it was this moral idea that they were not being obedient to the manual or to Mrs. Eddy's direction, and that had to be communicated. And then thereby it spread and grew over the years, and then people just accepted this as being the truth. And it just, to me, was like such a freeing thing, because my teacher had been taught by one of those people. And so, his teacher was taught by this, you know, it goes down by generations, but it was so freeing to me, so I could understand why all this sounded the same, but it didn't feel the same and wasn't the same. It's because what was behind it. And then it looks like a big Goliath, or it's like propaganda when they tell everybody believes this, or everybody, you know, it came from this person, so it has to be. Well, I just read this week. I was so incredibly touched. I had some time to read about Mrs. Eddy during the 1909, all that, 1910. And if you look at the incredible drama that was going on, how can these people have thought clearly and taught well, really, if you weren't standing for what Mrs. Eddy believed? And it's not a criticism on them specifically. It was how animal magnetism was operating. And so it's so freeing to me, and then the compassion. But, you know, to look at them as gods or demigods is very destructive, and it was so freeing. I feel like I've been given peace and freedom.
Thank you.
Good. That's exactly.
That's what it should do for
you. It should do for you.
Because the truth makes you free, and this is the truth. And the truth is always our friend, remember, always our friend. And in the lesson this week with the healing of a man, he was sick for how many years? 38.
Yes.
So you see, it doesn't matter how long it's gone on. And what did you say about that, Jeremy, your forum?
Well, I was just thinking about how for a long time I felt really far from God. And, you know, here was this man only a few feet away from that pool, and he felt that was like a lifetime away. And all that stuff just holds no bearing on our oneness with God. And we don't need anybody between us, because there is no space between us and God. So, I just was thinking about that a lot this week, especially with the 1910 coup that that's given us quite a good week to think about all this stuff.
Thank you. Yes, it does tie in. I love what you wrote. It said it is up to you to stop being victimized by false beliefs and realize you are the image and likeness of God and of all his qualities. So it's up to you to be stopped victimized by false beliefs and realize this great truth which is in this week's lesson.
And the wonderful thing is, you're capable of doing it. Because God has given you the power to do it.
You know, reading that has given me another insight into Mrs. Eddy and how much I love her and how much she stood against her own board of directors, her own people. And boy, and she just loved and loved God and wouldn't back down. And that's just a wonderful example.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And she was quoted to say that her students were going to have to learn from what they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. So, well, thank God for that. And it's all now completely on our website, the 1910 coup. And we'll also have part of it in the Liberator coming up in our history corner. We're going to get it out there. No reason to be afraid of the truth. Truth is healing. So, okay, well, I will introduce now our lesson. The subject is man. The golden text is Genesis. God created man in his own image, and in the likeness of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And then it's the beautiful responsive reading, Psalm 1. And Barbara here? Barbara, you want to... I thought what you wrote was lovely on the forum.
Hi there. I'm just trying to get unmuted. Thank you.
Okay.
I don't have any more to say about it, though.
Okay. Well, it was about meditating on God day and night. And ask yourself, I had to ask myself, do I meditate on God day and night? Is he always in my thoughts? Or is a lot of other stuff rummaging around in there that's not so good? It's a very important point, one to think about and to do better at. And I love, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The promise. You don't need to get old and decrepit.
But it's good to think about what it is that you delight in.
Yes.
Do you delight in the goodness that you see of God all around you? Do you delight in seeing God at work in your life and the life of others? Or do you delight in twiddling your thumbs? or listening to gossip?
I delight in how I was made. It's just wonderful to think about that. I think for some time I didn't really think about that. But God created man in his own image. I used to take it for granted, and I knew it, but I never really pondered it. But it means so much, a lot, how God made us.
And it's good to keep that in mind all the time. Because there are those who would try to persuade you that that's not what made you. Or that's not how you were made.
I was reading somewhere this week the difference between Moses and Solomon. And Moses loved God, and he loved God till the very last days of his life, didn't he? And do you remember how he's described in Deuteronomy?
About still having, he still had his vigor.
Yeah, he had his vigor, his eyes were clear. Yes. But he stayed with the Lord. He meditated upon God day and night. God was his delight, always. So when his end time came, there was no fear or thinking he was going to, you know, just flop. But Solomon, on the other hand, what happened to him?
Got enamored with too many women.
Right. Strange women.
Strange women.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, and other things, everything, money, it all. He started off perhaps good, and he was prospering. All these wonderful things were going on in his life, but he got carried away with it. And toward the end, he dreaded all of that. You know, if you're not walking with God, there's that specter that you're going to dread, that ghostly apparition that's hanging around.
He's the one who said it's all vanity. Yeah. He knew it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. He knew it. He regretted it.
And gave us a good advice to
he
not
wrote
follow
it down.
That.
He wrote it down to warn us. Mm-hmm. To spread it. But the Jewish nation kind of went downhill after his reign. Whereas after Moses left, the Jewish nation kept prospering.
Jeremy?
I was just thinking about Moses at the end there. He was really close. He could have crossed over the river. He could have said, oh, God, just made a living mistake.
I'm gonna do that.
No, he was faithful to the end.
Yeah.
As Mrs. Thanks. Said.
Thanks to everybody for the expansion on this idea.
Well, it was a good thought, and I thank all of you who contribute on the forum, and also Ray for her watching points each week. If I don't always get to everything, it's not because I don't think it's worthy of getting to. It's just a matter of time. So I'm always grateful. And then I did love, well, the Isaiah 43. Bruce, you want to read that?
Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise.
Thank you. That's a complete treatment about you. And when you're knowing that you were created for God's purpose, life takes a new meaning, a deeper meaning. And so, Linda, what did you write about that?
Well, I got the definition of formed from the King James Dictionary Bible, which said, made, shaped, molded, planned, arranged, combined, enacted, constituted. And then I loved in Strong's Concordance the use of divine activity. And that just to me, I thought about it, this lesson because it was, and realized how much I still believed other stuff was forming me and others. So I appreciate
that. And what was the list of that?
DNA, psychology, parents, sociology, food, exercise. But for yourself, for the glory of yourself, not for God.
That's a really good point. How many of you think that some of those things, or not all of those things, are what formed you, formed your children, formed other people? It's what you hear over and over and over again. So take that back to the beautiful definition of form. It goes back to what Lawrence was saying about just to think about how we were created, how we were made, shaped, molded, planned, arranged, combined, enacted, constituted for his purpose and his glory. I remember that word constituted. I once looked it up, and it was to make a thing what it is. I thought, wow, like constituted orange juice. makes it what it is. God made us what we are. We're constituted by him. If that's where the Constitution came from.
Mm-hmm.
The great word.
Make us what we are. And along that, I want to go back to the Golden Text for a second, where it says, male and female created he them. There are some who interpret this as saying God created two genders, a male gender and a female gender, and that's why we have males and females. But somebody wise once said what it also means. What it means spiritually is that God gave all of his creation both the male and the female qualities so that every one of us, whether we are physically male or female, have been endowed with both male and female qualities, the ability to be strong and principled, and also the ability to be compassionate and loving. there is nothing lacking in any one of us.
That's wonderful to realize about each, all of ourselves, that we are part of, well, if you've noticed, this lesson was full of the word perfection as well as reflection, but perfection, one of the definitions of that is a state of being perfect or complete, so nothing is wanting. So therefore, it would include all the qualities of God, not lopsidedly so. And one of the definitions, too, this was on physical perfection, but I liked it because it applies to us, our body. When a natural object has all its powers, faculties, or qualities, entire and in full, vigor, and all its parts in due proportion. So that's you. You have all the powers, faculties, qualities, they are entire and in full. All your vigor is in full. And all the parts are in due proportion. Nothing, again, lopsided. Everything symmetric. That's how God made you. Peter V. Ross's article, God Proportions You, is a beautiful article he wrote. It's on our website. But you have a right to be, you know, a right size. We don't go crazy over this sort of thing, but generally speaking, again, God proportions you. God takes care of every part of you. Anyone else on this? Well, in Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy says, man is God's reflection, needing no cultivation, but ever beautiful and complete. So, let's talk about those words, reflection. How is the sky reflected on a lake?
His image and likeness.
Yes, we are his image and likeness, but doesn't that reflection require quietness and stillness? This was like Sunday School Basics number 101.
That's right.
Hello, wake up. It's Labor Day weekend, but wake up. Go ahead, Florence.
Well, there has to be a clarity for the picture to be reflected. So if you have a very muddy water, the reflection is not clear. But if we stand by clear water, the exact reflection of the original you see. So that means a lot to feel.
Thank you.
But ever beautiful and complete.
Yes. So this reflection, it comes when there's a quietness within. Quietness within. If you're rushing around madly, accomplishing nothing, as Betty talks about, smartly accomplishing nothing, you don't get that reflection. How could you? It requires a sense of quietness and peace. So, for that reflection.
I think that's why Barbara's post is important, because I feel more and more that's how you really get clear for this reflection to take place. This connection, you know, I think Bicknell Young, in one of his articles, he talks about always being aware that you are in constant conscious contact with infinite good. I mean, that means a lot, even if you're just thinking about that, always in contact with God. And I think that clears some of the false truths that are blocking, like the clouds that are, you know, blocking the sun, and it makes it shine through. That reflection takes place. So this one-on-one with God, always, at least once a day, I feel is very important.
Very important, absolutely. And as Laura said, remembering, thinking about, even when you're not feeling it, maybe you're feeling, maybe especially that's when you reach out all the more, you're feeling depressed, you're feeling sick, you got to keep declaring, no, you have a conscious oneness with the Father right now, right this minute, I am complete in him, I am whole in him, Nothing can mesmerize me to make me think otherwise. I will not be impressed with anything physical. I won't be impressed with it. My oneness is right here, right now, as Jeremy said in his forum comment. You don't have to travel 3,000 miles. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to get closer to the Christ or farther from the Christ. Christ is here.
And furthermore, God requires that. God requires perfection in our cover page of our website. God requires this perfection, but not until the battle between spirit and flesh is fought and the victory won. So again, we have a responsibility, don't we?
I love Miss Eddie's treatment for every day, which I always go over every day. And it begins with saying, I am perfect in God.
Mm-hmm. And the in God is real important there. Because outside of God, we're not perfect, okay?
No.
And, you know, all of this goes back to always identifying yourself as a child of God, not human parents or any kind of inheritance, but God's child. In order to claim all this, you've got to be God's child. And that's a good thing. We all are God's children. Keeps you from all the false beliefs of human inheritance. And you know that word beauty, beautiful, we all have a right to that. And as we know, it's inward. We had a couple of beautiful quotes and past healing thoughts. One from a Florence Gubbins. In truth, we have no beauty of our own apart from God. And another by William Gannett. Whoever would be fairer, illumination must begin in the soul. Face catches the glow only from that side.
That's a beautiful.
And that's how we all can be beautiful. Expression, form, outline, and color. That's in the pages about beauty and agelessness, mind and health. Expression, your expression, your form, your outline, your color come to you from God. But you have to know it. You have to declare for it. And you can't have one foot in one camp and one foot in the other. You've got to be knowing this. I actually have these quotes. I have them on little pictures hanging up in my bathroom to remind me.
Yeah, it's in calligraphy and it's framed and hanging on the wall.
So, but if you're not constantly talking to yourself in a healthy manner and telling yourself the truth about who and what you are is God's child as man, then sometimes you forget, or, you know, everyone else is telling you something else. So, on the definition of man, which is in the lesson part of it from Recapitulation, Jeffrey, citation 8. Could you read that, please? Five now.
Man is spiritual and perfect. And because he is spiritual and perfect, must be so understood in Christian science. Man is idea, the image of love. He is not physique. He is the compound idea of God, including all right ideas. Generic term for all that reflects God's image and likeness. Conscious identity of being is found in science, which man is a reflection of God, or mind, and therefore is eternal. That which has no separate mind from God, that which has not a single quality underived from deity, that which possesses no life, intelligence, nor creative power of his own, but reflects spiritually belong to the thinker.
Thank you. That is so complete. I can't think of anything that's missing, right? So, identify yourself with that. Know that to be the truth, even though at times it might seem like it isn't, or like someone you love isn't expressing all that. That is the truth. And we can look beyond that veil, see that truth, claim it. Take that one spark of truth you see in that person and let it grow and illumine itself, magnify itself. Lawrence, was there anything that you wanted to say about this lesson? I know you were excited about it. So.
I just feel that it makes it very clear who we are. I'm so grateful for it all. I went through it and made a list of all the different beautiful, powerful qualities that is included in each one of us. And I'm just so grateful for it. That's all. You can do something else. I'll get it in a minute.
All righty. They also was very beautiful. I'll have Carol read this too. This is a quote, the last Jesus beheld in science, the perfect man. This is the key, friends, of how Christ Jesus healed. Just one or two sentences, the key. So let's listen.
Jesus beheld in science the perfect man who appeared to him where sinning mortal man appears to mortals. In this perfect man, the Savior saw God's own likeness, and this correct view of man healed the sick. Thus, Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is intact, universal, and that man is pure and holy.
Thank you. So that's our job, to see that within ourselves and within others, the perfect man. And that's what heals. And even if you can do that to some degree, it's healing. You go around town and meet people on the street. No, they're God's child. In them is that it's only a seed at the time that's evident, but it's there. Everyone has it within them. And that's the beautiful way that Christ heals. Lawrence, are you ready? Or
I have it. The first one, I'll just read all of it. Created in the image of God. I do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. I am like a tree by the river, bears fruit, don't wither, or doesn't wither. All I do shall prosper. The Spirit of God made me. My mouth speaks wisdom. God's law is in my heart. I am God's perfect man, upright, peaceful. I belong to God. God is always with me, so I'm not afraid. I am created for God's glory. I am the new man with the Spirit of Christ. I am God's reflection, ever beautiful and complete. I obey God, therefore perfect, praying, watching, so no discouragement. I am patiently gaining the spiritual awareness of all that God sees in me. I have the mind of Christ, the only real mind. I stick to the standard of perfection as God and man. I am the expression of God's being, forever perfect. Long. I am giving up the material belief of myself and identifying with my spiritual self. I am not a material personality. I am the likeness of Spirit, God. My connection with God is indestructible. Health and holiness are mine, not sin, sickness, and death. I am the compound idea of God, including all right ideas. I have not a single quality underived from God. My life, intelligence, strength, or power comes from God. God is my father, mother. The kingdom is in me. Truth and love reign in me, and I am pure and holy. That's it.
Very, very beautiful. Thank you. I'm glad I asked for that. Beautiful. You should put that up on the somewhere, maybe on the forum.
It's long.
It is long, but it's a perfect treatment. Someone once told me that, this Science and Health is your autobiography. It's about you, and you make sure you apply it to yourself always, just as Florence did in that way. She took this lesson and applied it to herself. So that's just beautiful and very complete. So.
And just to finish that funny, that wonderful story, Florence wrote this lesson. And when it came time for us to study the lesson, she had forgotten that she wrote it. And she raved about it because it meant so much to her. But that is how these lessons are written. It's proof that God wrote the lesson. She received it directly from God. When it was finished, she had no sense of personal authorship, so she forgot that she had written it.
That's really reflection.
That is reflection.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
That is reflection. Thank you. Yes. And that's
even more funny is I'm over there praising the lesson writer.
I know. She was very embarrassed.
Well, but I think it's right because I'm praising God, really. But,
Exactly.
It was a beautiful example of how that works and how it should work within us in purity. And purity is a very important
essential.
And yes, an understanding. This at all, understanding our real sonship with God. Okay, Gary was going to read How Can You Help Yourself by Peter V. Roth. As our ending.
How can you help yourself? God is life, and life is everywhere, and you are life expressed. Tell yourself, and do so frequently, that you are the temple of the living God, the place of health, strength, freedom, buoyancy, and confidence. Say to yourself, I am the temple of the living God. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let this world of pain and trouble be still. I am eternal life on exhibition. I am the place where all-knowing mind is diffusing courage, wisdom, resourcefulness, keenness of vision, and soundness of judgment. I just have no capacity for failure or sickness. You are always talking to yourself, and much of the time, if not careful, you are saying what is not true. How old you are getting, how useless you are, how discouraged you feel, and how much you suffer. Every time you think or declare one of these untruths, you add to the mesmerism, which is already weighing you down. You would not make another person have any of these distresses, and surely God would not. Stop telling yourself these lies. Refuse to think or argue this way, because every time you do so, you take into mentality that which will work against your welfare. The Creator has not made this dream world of weariness, sickness, depression, and you are not deceived by it. Your vision is so clear that you can look right through it and see beyond to a world of health and dominion. Peter V. Ross.
Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.